Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, April 2nd, 2015. Here are our top stories.
Tonight, over 100 murdered in a Kenya campus attack. Then, a new executive order is no April Fool's joke. And the feds fight with the Bundys again. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
But I know this, folks. We got criminals running the show. They're trying to mop up opposition. It's time to stand up and open a can of whoop-ass on them politically.
Well, there was a terrorist attack in Kenya today at a university. 147 people killed, over 500 were captured and eventually freed, with only four gunmen. 79 students were injured. Many of the students were killed during morning prayers at a mosque. However, the terrorists were Muslims and specifically targeted Christians. They say the gunmen separated Christians from Muslims. Explosives were reportedly staged around the Christian hostages. And gunmen attended the morning prayers at the same campus mosque before they headed to the dorm. Now, the interesting thing about this is how helpless the people were. As they pointed out, they heard heavy gunfire. They didn't know where to run. They wound up running, many of them, at the terrorist, had to run past the terrorist. This is the same country, the same group, Al-Shabaab, the same country, Kenya, where we also saw a siege just about a year and a half ago. At that time, there was a siege in a mall, if you recall, that lasted for 4 days and ended up in the death of 60 civilians. Now, one of the things that was very noteworthy that happened in the aftermath of that, we reported at InfoWars.com, the chief of Interpol went there, Secretary General Ronald Noble, and he had this to say. He said, ask yourself, if that was Denver, Colorado, if that was Texas, would those guys have been able to spend hours, days shooting people? Remember, this was days that this siege went on. He said, no, what I'm saying here is it makes police around the world question their views on gun control. It makes citizens question their views on gun control. You have to ask yourself, is an armed citizenry more necessary now than it was in the past with an evolving threat of terrorism? This is something that has to be discussed. Unfortunately, in Kenya, that's not the discussion that they're having. In Kenya, the article on USA Today reports that they say, well, we've suffered unnecessarily because we don't have enough manpower. That's the message that the Kenyan government is saying. They say Kenya badly needs additional officers, and I will not keep the nation waiting. And that was the president of Kenya speaking. Just understand, however, that if you have the people armed, as Alex Jones pointed out earlier today, as happened here in Austin when you had a shooter at the top of a tower, it was the armed citizenry that held him off initially. It was the armed citizenry that helped the police take him out, capture him, kill him. That's what is called posse comitatus. That's the real posse comitatus. That's not just an act that was enacted to keep the president from using the military as police force. No, posse comitatus means the power of the community. That was shortened to posse, but that was originally the intention, that the citizens would help the police. I don't think that adding a lot more police is really going to help them. It took several hours even today for the police to get there. Even though it didn't take days to end this siege, many people died. 147 died, 79 injured in the amount of time that it took the police to get there. And there were only four terrorists. Think about that. And think about the fact that the police in this country, even though we have a massive number of police, we have to ask ourselves, do we have too few police? Do you realize that we had more police per capita in New York than we did soldiers in Iraq when we were trying to occupy that nation? Yet we're not being made safer. In many cases, it's the police themselves that become a danger to us, as we see very many times. Look at this article that just came out on Huffington Post. Over 100 people were killed by the police nationwide in America in just the month of March. And actually, there were still a couple of days left in March when they came out with that. They say that's an average of more than three people killed per day in March by the police in America. And last week's Department of Justice report pointed out that the Philadelphia police had shot 400 people, over 80% of them African American, in just 7 years. They say this is a city where the police commissioner is now the author of the very same White House task force report that is calling for police reform. Maybe what we need to do is take the advice of the Interpol officer. We need to have an armed citizenry. We need to have the power of the community. And at the end of the show, we've got an interview with Clive and Bundy. But first, right after this break, we're going to be back with Joe Biggs. And as AI takes the wheels of our cars, who is responsible for the tragedies that may happen? He's going to break that down for you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
InfoWars Life and InfoWarsLife.com is extremely excited to announce our latest release, Winter Sun, a revolutionary type of vitamin D3. Winter Sun is a premium quality vitamin D3 nutritional supplement. It is produced by extracting oil from healthy, nutrient-dense plants known as lichens. Every batch is analyzed for purity and D3 content. It's completely free of toxins and allergens. Simply put, if you want the best at an extremely low price, this is it. Winter Sun is the result of our pursuit of the best source of vitamin D3. The research and development took over 2 years, but the result, as verified by independent laboratories, is the best vegan vitamin D3 product in the world. Read the facts at InfoWarsLife.com about Winter Sun vitamin D3. Not only does vitamin D3 promote a healthy mood, but vitamin D supports our memory and brain function, something the globalists are targeting. Visit InfoWars.com today or call 888-253-3139. The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fuse with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. For a limited time, get 25% off on this introductory offer. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. AncientDefense.com.
Joe Biggs here with InfoWars.com. Now today I want to talk about something that I heard earlier in the Alex Jones broadcast on the show today. He played a clip of Warren Buffett speaking, and this is embedded in a Paul Joseph Watson article titled, Warren Buffett, Artificial Intelligence Will Decide Whether or Not Humans Live or Die. So let's take a look at this clip and then we'll analyze it after.
There's some interesting questions. I mean, let's just say you've got a self-driving car and you're going down the street and a three-year-old kid runs out in front of the car, and there's another car coming the other direction with four people in it, and the computer's going to make the decision as to whether to hit the kid or hit the other car. You know, I'm not sure who gets sued under those. You're going to kill somebody. And it will be the computer that makes the decision in a nanosecond. And it'll be interesting to know who programs that computer and what their thoughts are about the values of human lives and things.
So this is the moral question. Like he said, if there's a three-year-old child who walks out into traffic and then there is a car with four passengers inside that could swerve and possibly hit a tree, hit a pole, and kill four people, where does that moral decision go to? It goes to the person, whoever programs the computer. And that's what he brings up in this report. He says, I'm not sure who gets sued over these circumstances. You're going to kill somebody, and it will be the computer that makes the decision in a nanosecond, and it will be interesting to know who programs that computer and what their thoughts are about the values of human lives and things. And that was the end of his statement. Now, we already know that the vaccine court exists. The vaccine court basically lets these big pharmaceutical companies who make these, you know, vaccines impervious to being sued. So what that means is if you get a flu shot or your child gets some kind of a vaccine and dies, you cannot go and sue these big pharmaceutical companies because of the vaccine court. Now, it got me thinking, who's going to be liable for deaths when these happen, when these driverless cars are implemented on the streets every day? Who gets sued for that? Because you, the driver, obviously aren't going to be, because they're trying to take that away from you. Now it's going to go to these huge automotive companies that will be owning all these driverless cars. Whoever owns that will be the powerhouse. And I have a feeling that the same concept of the vaccine court will be implemented with the automotive industry with driverless cars. That if you die or your children die driving or riding in a car, I should say, you can't go and sue whatever company is that's making it. Because they will be impervious to that due to some new type of vaccine court that'll cover these automotive industries that are making these driverless cars. So that's something that's very scary, that you're going to be driving around in something like that. You can't get any kind of compensation for loss of life, anything like that whatsoever. They will not be held liable for that. And that's something that you have to think about. That is, to me, one of the scariest things. And then the other fact that knowing that if you're driving down the road and the car realizes that you're late on child support, you're behind on taxes, anything like that, the car can essentially shut down, notify local law enforcement, the doors will lock, and this will be like a small prison cell holding you there until, you know, the authorities arrive to essentially take you and detain you and put you in jail and book you. So this is just another example of our government trying to inject this artificial intelligence into our lives when clearly we don't need that. People need to be held responsible for the crappy decisions that they make. There needs to be someone that you can look at and go, hey, you mess up, you need to be held accountable for this, and not have some vaccine court that goes, oh, we're covered, you guys can't do anything to us, sorry. You know, we said on the labels there that there's, you know, a chance that something could happen if you take this. Meanwhile, the government's shoving it down your throat every day in commercials on TV, getting people like LeBron James or whoever, celebrities, to endorse the fact that you should go and get your vaccines. I mean, this is just out of control, this world we live in. And now they're taking the same concept of artificial intelligence, removing the human emotion away to make a good, sound decision into our VA systems. So now we have the IBM Watson program back in the news again today, and it kind of meshes well with the fact of what we're talking about with these driverless cars taking the human emotion away and decision-making behind life-changing decisions. Now, we already know that the VA has death panels. It's been proven. We've heard Bill Gates talk about it. This is something that we know. It's now in the mainstream. You know, tons of vets have died and are dying waiting, seeking medical attention at these poorly ran VA hospitals all across the country. And yay for Austin, because they decided to bring in this evil program, IBM Watson, here to my town to run the VA's data center. Yeah, I mean, that's something that literally makes my blood boil, to know that we're going to put some artificial intelligent computer in there that's not really intelligent, because in order to have intelligence, I think you also have to have a bit of human emotion as well to be able to make good, sound decisions when regarding people's lives. Now, what they want to use this for is to help treat PTSD patients. Now, I'm pretty sure IBM Watson never deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, Korea, Panama, wherever, ever. I doubt that very much, but what I do know about IBM Watson, I'm going to tell you in this upcoming report.
Focus, and 3, 2, 1.
Tonight, IBM, friend or foe, IBM has been announced as the winner of a long-term VA contract to modernize the electronic health records management system for the embattled VA. IBM will utilize the latest technology to provide up-to-the-minute care for veterans all across this great country. The VA released a statement, "We are serious about health of our nation's heroes and are sparing no expense to update, modernize, and create an efficient system to diagnose and provide real-time healthcare solutions for those who have served our country. We thank IBM, a company that has a long history providing cutting-edge information technology solutions, for stepping in, providing leadership and experience that will be valuable to our country and save taxpayers money." Hold on. This isn't who we are. No. Give me those freaking cue cards, man. Ah! You know what? You know what's going to happen with this? You know what the implications are of this Watson program that's going to come up? It's a computer that they're going to use to replace the doctors at the VA, to do the death panels that have been going on, to help take away human emotion from making those decisions. This is something that's gotta change. This is ridiculous, and I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com, and I'm not gonna take it anymore. I'm standing outside of the Veterans Affairs Center in Austin, Texas. This will be the proving ground for IBM's brand new technology, Watson. Now, what that is a supercomputer that will have all of your medical records, admin records, and many other things downloaded into it. They want to use this machine to replace the doctors that have had death panels going on at the VA for years now. Newly released documents expose more explicitly the details of IBM's pivotal role in the Holocaust. All six phases, identification, expulsion from society, confiscation, ghettoization, deportation, and even extermination. Moreover, the documents portray with crystal clarity the personal involvement and micromanagement of IBM President Thomas J. Watson and the company's co-planning and co-organizing of Hitler's campaign to destroy the Jews. Why is the Department of Veterans Affairs awarding IBM with a large contract to bring in Watson, a new technology that will be used to replace doctors in an already failing VA health system? Why are they naming it after Thomas J. Watson, the founder and president of IBM? Did you know this man was responsible for making the machines that created punch cards with a coding system to label and eventually kill thousands of Jews? This machine would generate codes to be tattooed on prisoners in Hitler's concentration camps. This man committed genocide by any standard, and IBM and the VA want to throw it in our face clear as day and name it after that monster. If this doesn't piss you off, I don't know what will. Hitler was so impressed with what Watson had done for the Third Reich that he awarded him with a special award created specifically for the occasion to honor extraordinary service by a foreigner. The medal was the Order of the German Eagle with Star, bedecked with swastikas, and was to be worn on a sash over Watson's cold, dead heart. Why do they want to put a machine in charge of your health, you might ask yourself? They do it so this pre-programmed evil robot can make the life or death decisions about you, the veteran, instead of the doctors that have received so much flack from the VA scandal over the last year. This helps take human emotions away and also allows the medical personnel to use Watson as a scapegoat should any problems arise, like death. Watson will be a new form of medical AI technology used to run the death panels already in place at the VA. How soon will it be until this technology moves over into civilian healthcare? Will you be a victim of Watson's wrath? This is also happening in another area of the government. They now want to replace humans that fly drones and make them fully autonomous. And many pilots were also claiming PTSD. Once you take the human aspect out of dealing with healthcare and war, things become even more evil. Who is going to check the morals of the men and women who program these machines? How do we know the machines will be told to act ethical and make the right decisions? Well, there you have it. That is the new Watson technology that's going to run the death panels at the already failing VA healthcare system. Now I have a vision of how this Watson technology will be implemented when you walk into the VA. Let's go in here and take a look.
Next.
What's going on?
All right, right arm. All right, Watson has determined you need to step in the medical chamber, so go ahead. Next.
another major health threat. This one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
Used since before the days of the Roman Empire to support the body's natural systems and enhance overall health. Introducing the new InfoWarsLife.com oil of oregano formulation, a highly advanced nutraceutical form of this key herb that has been traditionally used by civilizations for thousands of years to promote health. We have now procured the most high quality and potent forms of oregano oil on the market, sourced from top leading manufacturers to ensure a concentrated level of bioactive ingredients. Extracted directly from the wild herb and sealed in easy-to-use capsules, you will no longer need to endure the burning of liquid oregano on the tongue. Wild-crafted from the Mediterranean oregano species that experts agree is one of the most powerful and most challenging to acquire. This winter season, it's more important than ever to secure this true form of oil of oregano. Now available in our limited first run at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
We're coming up to the one-year anniversary of the Bundy Ranch standoff, and there we saw the power of the community come together and peacefully stand down an aggressive group of invaders, federal agents from the BLM. Thank you for joining us. It's been a long time since I've talked to you, about a year, I think.
Well, thanks for inviting me, and I don't know how long it's been, but I appreciate you having me back on, and it's always exciting to talk to American people. And, you know, even around the world, I've talked to a lot of people. I get excited.
Well, it is an exciting place. And I tell you, it was one of the most exciting things I've ever been part of or witnessing, to see people stand up against violence being done to their neighbors. And that was really how we got involved with that. We were very concerned about the reports we saw coming out of the area as it started building towards that standoff on a Saturday. And I thought it was really an inspiring thing to see the neighbors come together to support you, to get your cattle back. And now we want to talk about the land issue, because now that's back in front of the people again. There's been some movement in Utah at the end of the year. There was a bill that went into effect in Utah, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yes. Utah had a law passed in the last session, which had been 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be in effect on January 1 of 2015. So that date is passed.
But, of course, the federal government has ignored that, like they ignore so many different things. They ignore their own constitution. So you're trying to do something in Nevada, and 2 days ago you had a large group of people that went down to show their support of a bill that is being put forward by a state rep there. It's Michelle Fiore. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that bill.
Well, that bill is AB 408 is the bill number. Let me tell you a little bit about the excitement of 408. 408 went through a legislation committee and come out, you know, without a number, and they give that bill a number, and within 4 days, it was the most popular bill in Nevada legislature.
Oh,
it had moved from zero through 1,000 other bills to number one. So that gives you an idea of the interest that was going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the number one bill before the legislators. Yesterday they had that hearing on AB 408. And the media was very interested in it. There was, you know, over 10 large cameras there, you know, representing TV stations, things like this. A lot of media there.
Yeah, we covered it, and the L.A. Times covered it as well. They were spinning it as hard as they could. We'll talk about that in a little bit and give you a chance to set the record straight. But, yeah, go ahead. Tell us a little bit about the bill and exactly what it would propose to do.
Well, what it is it's a bill strengthening Nevada law. And the way I like to explain it is, hey, it's bringing our Constitution, our state of Nevada, back to be constitutional. Mm-hmm. You know, our United States Constitution only allowed the federal government to have certain powers and certain things. One of the things our Constitution allowed the federal government to have is only 10 miles square of land, and then other lands that they needed for military bases. And, you know, those lands within these states, all that land that the federal government could have had to be approved by the legislators of the state and bought from the state and for only a certain purpose.
Yes.
And now we have the federal government coming out here and claiming they own all of the public land, they own all of the resources, they have all of the policing power. Well, that's not so. And this bill was saying, hey, Mr. Government, or, you know, Mr. United States Government, you know, you guys have no jurisdiction authority here, so now bye-bye.
Absolutely. You know, we've had, Alex has talked to you several times in the last year, and we've talked to Ken Ivory from the American Lands Council, and he pointed out that they did this in eastern states. They did it in Florida, for example. It became a territory, then it became a state. They turned land back to the state. They turned it over to homesteading and various examples. And he argues, of course, that there's nothing that the federal government is doing that can't be done at the state level and done better because it's closer to the people in terms of managing the land, in terms of keeping it available to the public, because the federal government is not doing a very good job of either of those things, making it available to the public or safeguarding it. When we look at things like the forest fires and that sort of thing, it could be done much better at the state level. And we also have situation there that's going on in Arizona. You know, last year we were there covering it with the Cowboys, who were upset with you guys, who were upset about what the federal government was doing with Harry Reid, who is a Democrat, going to turn this over to his crony capitalist friends. Now this year, it's a Republican in Arizona who's going to turn it over to his corporate capitalist friends and taking it from the Indians. So this is going on in both directions.
Yeah, and you know, the thing of it is this land should be ruled by we the people. Isn't that what our Constitution's all about? We the people, and on for the people and by the people.
Yes, exactly.
And the people are not in Washington, D.C. The people are here in these sovereign states and then in these sovereign counties. And you know, we the people are the ones that are trying to make our living, and we're trying to create our businesses, and we're trying to create a tax base for our schools and, you know, our county government. So we the people should be managing our resources. And,
you know,
and that's what this bill also does, is we're talking about not only land, we're talking about the resource. What about the resource? What about water and
yes,
minerals and timber and all of these kind of resources? Should we be governed by a central government, a king in Washington, D.C., and this army of bureaucracy, bureaucrats? And not only that, are we going to be policed by their army as they come and try to police their power here at Bundy Ranch?
Exactly.
That what we're headed for?
Exactly. Even if we don't get into the abuse of power, even if we don't get into what was going on there at the Bundy Ranch just prior to the standoff where they got violent with people, as I was going to lunch today, I flipped on the radio and I listened to the BBC talking about water issues in Australia, comparing them to what's going on in California right now. The interesting thing I found, Mr. Bundy, was that they said that in Australia, the federal government there had been trying to manage water, and they had done an awful job. And they took that down to the different province levels or the states, whatever they call it in the Australian system. And they said that then they got the problem solved. You can't always solve the problems at the most distant place. And that's what really surprises me, is how many people think that you can't do it unless it's done in Washington, that it's going to cost too much money if it's done locally, that it can't be managed if it's done locally. But, of course, it can be done in Washington. And we look at the mismanagement, I just scratch my head and say, what are you talking about?
You know, that subject come up in the legislature hearing yesterday. Well, Nevada can't afford this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the big government, in other words, the United States government's got to do the management. But there was a legislature that I pointed out and said, well, if the federal government's doing such a good job, how come are we in $18 trillion in debt?
And that's
are
just
we
it.
The people still paying that bill?
That's just it. The federal government is not paying its bills. It's passing it on to future generations, and it's living lavishly. When we were there, we were just talking about this today, the fact that they had 80 different cars, each of them with just one BLM agent, as they were evacuating that area before they would release the cattle. We're standing there watching these and counting the different cars going by, all new vehicles. Just the amount of money that they spend, the way they waste money. Of course it can be done better at the local level. Certainly can't do any worse at the local level. Because at the local level, you don't have the Federal Reserve, which is going to allow you to run up a huge tab. You're going to have to pay for it with taxes, or you're going to have to manage it responsibly.
Yeah. Now, it's a standoff. I've got a count of 107 vehicles.
107, okay.
Going on the road. you know, the thing of it is all 107 of those vehicles were armed with armed army.
Yes.
That always fascinated me.
Absolutely.
Why would the State Highway Patrol allow an army like that onto their highway? And then why would that army be able to pass through the city of Mesquite without, you know, any resistance, through the state of Arizona without any resistance, through the port of entry into Utah without any resistance? And that army disappeared in the state of Utah. And not one media, not one, no question. That army went across the United States without one question asked.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's what we saw. Now, getting back to this bill, as they point out, this is a person from, as the LA Times put it, a nonpartisan think tank, but I think they were pretty partisan. They were complaining about it, saying this goes farther than the most extreme bill we've seen so far. I've seen 37 bills like it in 11 Western states, and they thought this was by far the worst. I thought it was interesting, Mr. Bundy, that they called you, the same person called you a sovereign citizen. You're not a sovereign citizen. That's a very specific label that they try to hang on people to make them dangerous to law enforcement because they profile people with that label that's put on them. You're talking about sovereign states. You're asking the sheriff and the state to take on their sovereign responsibilities, aren't you?
Well, sure. When I say sovereign state, what I'm really saying is statehood. You
yes,
know,
exactly.
I believe this Nevada does have a statehood status. You know, President Lincoln declared Nevada a state.
Yes.
And when he did that, he didn't declare it a territory. He declared it a state. He took it out of the territory status. Nevada used to be the territory of Nevada of the United States. Well, that status was taken away, and that's where the federal government disposed of the land. When they made the territory a state, they disposed the territory land, and now it's a state, a sovereign state, with equal representation as our original 13 states. It has a boundary around it, in other words, a state line around it, and those people in there has their sovereignty.
Yes.
And when I say sovereignty, that means that they can make the rules and regulations only restricted by the things that the federal government, the Constitution of the federal government said that that would remain federal. And one of the things that said would remain federal is that 10 square miles.
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
That's right. You're talking about the 10th Amendment and how the states retain powers under the Constitution. That's the way the Constitution is written. I want to read one more.
All of the powers that wasn't delegated
right.
in the Constitution were retained to the state and to its people.
That's right. Absolutely. Let's talk about one more thing here that was brought up. I thought this was kind of interesting. In one of the articles, they had a 8 News reporter asked the assemblywoman, Michelle Fiore, who is Fiore, is that how you pronounce her name?
Fiore, yes.
Fiore, yeah, who has put forward this bill. She asked her, she said, could the feds essentially say, I don't care what you have to say as a state because the bill has no teeth. How would that work? Is that of concern of yours? And Michelle said, well, that's what the feds have been saying. So
yeah,
now we're saying
exactly
we're tired of that.
Yeah, that's true, and that's exactly what they've been saying ever since statehood.
Yes.
That was 1864, but they also, Nevada passed the Nevada Land Ownership Act in 1976, I believe, And that basically said Nevada owns its land. And, of course, the federal government has ignored that for all these years. Now, this bill here has to have teeth. And let me see if I can make a quote here. You know, a bill or a law that has no penalty has no force or value.
Yes.
And that's what's been happening to all of these land bills. They don't put a penalty on there, so there's no force or value.
Yes.
Now, what ought to be put on this, and I don't know whether it'll happen, but I know I dealt with Nye County, Nevada, with their some legislation the county did, and the bill, the work that they did said any person or entity contract with a foreign government dealing with our land, water, and resources, there will be a 5-year jail sentence and a $100,000 fine. Well, now that's got some teeth in it.
Yes, yes. And speaking of that,
you monkey with Nye County's water, Nye County's land or resources, and you could be 5 years in jail and $100,000 fine. Now that's got some teeth. Without that phrase in there, the federal government can ignore it.
Yes.
And the federal government's not the one that's going to get the penalty. It's the citizen that deals with the federal government. Make contract. Remember what I said? Contract with dealing with our land and resources.
Now the only thing,
he'll be the guilty one.
Well, that sounds like an excellent bill. But in order to bite with those teeth, you've got some teeth in that bill. But to have a bite, you've got to have somebody who's actually going to exercise the teeth. Do you have? And of course, the weak link in that is the sheriff. What's the situation there in Clark County now? Because it was the sheriff that was letting them get away with this.
Well, you know, I'm not sure because the sheriff has never exercised any power or authority. I'll tell you one thing about the Bundy Ranch in this part of Clark County, and it's been said several times on, you know, national TV and media. It says this could be the freest place on earth.
Yes.
And what they're talking about is, hey, we don't have the federal government bothering us. And the county sheriff, he's been basically staying out of the road. We hope he would protect us, and we'd hope that he would get involved if we needed his assistance. But he hasn't been involved, and so we don't really know where he stands.
That's right. And that's the thing that I think was so important when I was there, like I said at the beginning of the interview, to see citizens stand with their neighbor against injustice, against the illegitimate use of force. That was really the original intent of this country, I think, was to have a sheriff who would exercise authority when there was something that was happening in the community that he needed help with. He would get the posse together. That was the community where the power truly resided. And that's what we saw at the Bundy Ranch. There were no shots fired, but people showed that they were determined, that they were not going to back down. And when I think every time we see this happen, the federal government will back down. We've seen this happen now in several states. We've seen them back down from bills that were going to mandate vaccines, that were going to take away our informed consent as citizens and enact a kind of medical tyranny. The people came back in massive amounts, and in North Carolina as well as in Washington State, other places, they have withdrawn these bills. People can get their freedom back if they won't just accept the tyranny. I really thank you, Mr. Bundy, for really leading that.
Hey, I appreciate that, but let me tell you, they're very simple, and I've thought this thing over for, you know, 20, 30 years, and I've seen many of these cases you're talking about. There's no time that we, the people, or our county government, or our county sheriff, has ever said no, that the federal government overrode them and got their way.
That's right.
Sheriff, all he had to do on this Bundy issue was say no.
Yes. That's right.
One word, no, and the Fed would not have run over him. But when we have these governments and these are people that won't say no, then, boy, that just gives them the go-ahead to bring their army, do whatever they want to do.
Absolutely. And when the sheriff wouldn't say no, the community stood up and said no, and you led that effort, and you did a wonderful job. We're really thankful that that worked out in a peaceful way, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for asking. You know, we still live in the best country in the world with the best constitution. We really are blessed here in this land.
That's right. We just need to enforce it, don't we? Thank you so much, Mr. Bundy, Cliven Bundy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's it for tonight's news. If you're watching this on YouTube, please consider subscribing to the Alex Jones channel. And if you're watching it on YouTube, please consider supporting our operation with a subscription to Prison Planet TV. Your paid subscription supports our operation, and it allows you to share it with up to 11 other people at the same time so you all get the news the night that it happens. Well, join us again tomorrow night at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
From the water table to our soils to the atmosphere itself, our world is becoming more and more toxic each and every day. But it's not just the air outside that's toxic. Indoor air has been shown to have 2 to 5 times higher concentrations of pollutants than even outdoor air. And most Americans spend 90% of their time inside using toxic chemicals within their homes. There are more than 42 million smokers in the United States. Well over 1,000 types of mold and mildew linked to numerous conditions. And don't forget the fact that 6 million Americans live with pets they're allergic to as well. When I began to research these statistics, it was clear to me it was time to start cleansing my lungs in order to combat the toxic environment that we cannot escape but that we can fight back against. Made with organic and wild cultivated herbs and manufactured in the USA, the new InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse is here in a convenient spray bottle that can be brought with you throughout any toxic environment. Now available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.